I want to thank Adaniya Shibley and her colleagues for having us here in this delightful conference about trains. I was thinking that our colleague Zeynep Shilag will end up with the shots from Lawrence of Arabia blowing up the Hijazi lines. Maybe we'll have this as a finale at the end. I want to build on what Zeynep Shilag was doing with the modernity and the Ottoman railroad by proposing the opposite, which is the disappeared trains from public memory and its reappearance in folk songs and peasant wedding songs, about a train that does not seem to exist, which is the Ramallah-Jerusalem train from the 1915 period. And that's what I call the disappeared train and repressed memories from the Great War. The Hijazi railroad that Zeynep was discussing had a substantial impact not only on the Levant, on Syria, Lebanon, and Palestine, but also transformed the face of how people look at distances and the interurban experience, linking the rural to the urban, just before the war and especially during the war. One of the issues that was discussed was how the Great War was a major vehicle in accelerating the process of mechanization in the Ottoman domains. It involves the building of railroads, electrification, telegraph lines, and this was aimed to a large extent on linking Anatolia, the Sultanate, to the Arab lands in the south. During the war, this process was accelerated, and one of its features was to consolidate the southern front, which, in preparation for the war with Britain and the Allies on the Sinai and Iraqi front in Souq al-Amara in the Shatt al-Arab area. Railroads were absolutely essential for bringing troops, equipment, and material to that front. The Hijazi Railroad was an imperial scheme. Its main objects, discussed already by Zeynep, was to strengthen access and control over the Syrian provinces, but also ostensibly to consolidate the pilgrimage to the holy sites in Hijaz and Palestine, because Qudus Sharif was also part of the Holy Land as well as the Hijaz area. But lately it was also aimed at solidifying defenses of the southern front, both in Sinai and in southern Iraq, in Bir Sabah area and along what the Ottomans called Jabhat Philistine, the Palestine front. One consequence of this, which we saw in the film Lawrence of Arabia, was the weakening of Hijazi autonomy, which at the time was run by the Hashemites, and it was the economy of that the railroad system, both expediting support for the pilgrimage, but also the economy of the pilgrimage. The weakening of that autonomy was one of the major reasons for the secession of the Hashemites and their allies with the British during the war. The railroad was a very crucial aspect of that conflict. One area which I'll be talking about in the peasant song that I will discuss in a minute is the association in people's mind of the railroad and the construction with corvée labor, Tawabir al-Amali or Tawabir al-Shaghil, as they were called, as well as Sefer Berlik, which is the process of conscription of young men and sending them to the front, never to return again. I don't know if you noticed, but in the film by Rania Stefan, there was clips from a film called Sefer Berlik and the songs of Fairuz. This film is not seen much these days, but I think it was shot in the 1950s, late 50s. And one feature of it is, of course, Sefer Berlik, or military conscription of young men, which turned a great deal of the Arab peoples against the Ottomans, because young people were conscripted, they were sent to Anatolia, they were sent to Erzurum in the Russian front, they were sent to Kut al-Amara, and of course to Sinai, and a huge number of them never came back. What I want to do in the few remaining minutes is to examine how archives helped us look at repressed memory of trains and Sefer Berlik. And in particular, I'll be talking how the use of several sources, archival sources, help us uncover some of the lost material that exists from the war. Some of these materials are diaries and memoirs, which I have used in my social historical research, but here I also want to introduce folk songs and ditties and ballads. Another major source which helped us look at the Hijazi Railroad and its contours is the German Bavarian State Archive records of aerial photography, which is now available for researchers. One thing I will remind you of is that aerial photography was crucial not only in surveillance, military surveillance, but also in helping urban planning and the topography of the areas under the Ottoman domain. In the case of Palestine, there's one city, Beersheba, which was planned partly through the use of aerial photography by the German and Ottoman nascent air force at the time. These are pictures from the planning of Beersheba of that period. This is a rare photograph taken in January 1918 by the German Air Force over an area called Balu al-Bir. Those of you who come from that area may recognize the small lake in the picture, which exists in the eastern part of Ramallah today. And it's crucial to explain what I'm going to talk about, the disappeared train. The rail construction for that period is associated in people's mind not only with Sefer Berlik, with conscription, but also with the famine, with the great famine of 1915-1916. That famine was a major impact on the great loss of lives that took place in Syria, Lebanon, Palestine. And we have with us a rare song composed by Wasef Johariye. It's the only song he composed, actually. He was a very famous musician, but he was a performer, not a composer. But he composed this song, which he claimed, I don't know how true this is, I think it was a satirical claim, that it became the national anthem of Palestine. The song is called Karshat. I don't know how to translate Karshat in English. Are there any Scots people in the audience? Because the Scots eat a very weird meal called haggis. And haggis is the nearest thing to Arabic Karshat that we have. This song celebrates the missing dishes which existed in Palestine and in Jerusalem in particular before the war. And it's one way of mesmerizing about food that does not exist anymore. And if you don't mind, I'll just play a little section of it, because it's the only song that has survived from this famous musician in his own voice, recorded for Lebanese radio in 1954. And this is just a footnote in this talk, but if you don't mind turning the voice on. So with the famine, we have the dark memories of conscription, but also what is known as Tawabir al-Shaghili, or the volunteer labor brigades, which was a basic mobilizing force in construction, extending the construction of the railroad going to Bir Sabah and areas south. These were labor brigades. They were called volunteer, between quotations, because people were forced to work in them, and most of the people working in them were members of minorities who were not trusted to go to the front, as well as older men from Syria and Palestine. Sefer Berlik, of course, was the major plight of the war, and we have a large number of songs that talked about the longing of, in both Turkish and Arabic, about the impact of sending people to these various fronts. I should remind you that Syria had the highest number of losses during the war, the First World War, in the world. 1/6 of the population perished because of conscription, because of untreated wounds, and because of the famine of 1915-16. 1/6 of the population, which was much higher than the proportion of people who died in the war in Germany, in Belgium, in France, and in Britain, proportionate to the population. Now, the part about the lost train I'm going to talk about deals with a very bizarre song that is sung in Palestine in rural weddings. And its stanza goes like this: Za'ak babor al-bir al-Allah jire. The siren of the train of Bire has screamed, may God protect it. And it starts by a reference to Najla, who's dancing in the wedding, and then hearing the voice of the Bire train, hoping that God protected. And then it talks about the young people who left and never came back. So there's a linkage between celebrating the wedding, the sound of the train, or the ship, I'll explain this in a moment, and the lost youth that may or may not come back. So this is the song. Kumi uruksu ya najla bibrik zayt zammar babor albiri Allah yjiri wasmi'na za'ika min ka'al wad. Rise up, Najla, come and dance with the jug of oil on your head. We hear the train of Bire screaming, may God protect it. And we heard its sirens all the way from the valley. This is the basic stanza of the song, which keeps repeating itself. Now, the lost Bire train is quite phenomenal because it refers to a train that does not exist. Not only does not exist on the ground, there are no traces of it, such as the ones that Rania Stefan showed us in her film, it does not actually exist in people's memory. So I rely on a very flimsy source, archival source, which is this song, to refer to a train that has totally disappeared. And the reason we don't know about it, I will explain in a moment, has to do with the fact that this train was constructed immediately at the end of the war by the British to pursue the withdrawing Ottoman army in the Nablus region all the way to Damascus and Aleppo. So the song about the Biret train talks about the departure of young people going to the Americas, rarely coming back, and also about Sefer Berlik, about conscription. Also people going to the fronts and not coming back. The question is, why is the existence of this train, why is it denied? Why is it denied people's memory? Now, one thing about the train is that it refers to, in Arabic, by the word babur. Babur is equivalent to the Italian vapore, vaporetto, which is still used for a ship and used to be used for all steam engines, including the train. In Arabic, babur could be one of three things. It could be a ship, it could be a train, or it could be the primus heater, which you pump kerosene in it and creates a vapor which is lighted and heats things, heats food. So is it a train or is it a ship? We have three archival evidence for this train that I want to introduce. The first one is a rare picture which appears in the Johariyeh photo collection showing the train moving on top of the Tomb of the Kings, going towards north. This is the area where the American colony is located. Every time I show this picture to people, they said it must be constructed. It must be the work of Photoshop techniques. The Photoshop techniques existed in very primitive forms in those days. So, but there's a collective denial that it existed. This is the photograph, and underneath it we have the caption, Tanzania al-Jaysh al-Britani, the train of the British soldiers moving north from Jerusalem at the Tombs of the Kings, 1918. The second evidence is the German Air Force surveillance aerial photography, which is now available from a Bavarian Air Force. And this is the only picture I could find which has an actual train in it. I don't know if you can see it in this, but there's supposed to be a red marker here. I can't find it. Ah, here it is. Oh, where's the train? Okay. I lost it again. Now, this is the road that goes from Jerusalem to Ramallah, passing the town of Biri, and going all the way north to Silwad and Silt al-Zahir and areas called Turmus Aya. And this is the train right here. And this is the railroad. This is the only picture in the world that exists for the train taking from the air. And actually, if you enlarge it, you will find the steam engine blowing the train. And I can assure you this is not a Photoshop picture. This is an actual picture showing a train. And the date here is the 15th of August, 1918. This is a great find. I was shivering when I discovered it because it proves that the train actually existed. According to the historian Pick, there's very little in the British archives about it. The train was a rail system built by Colonel Jordan Bell, who commanded British, the Rail Builders Company 272 of the British Engineering Corps, and they used 850 laborers immediately after the British occupation of southern Palestine. They brought Egyptian and local Arabs. Half of them were women. And they built the road, the railroad within 3.5 months, linking Jerusalem to areas north. So this is a picture which shows the rail track, but not the train itself, going to Baloo al-Biri and going also to areas north. So the third evidence of the existence of the train are these pictures, which show the history of the rail track, which was built late 1917 and early 1918, continued to be used and was dismantled in 1919. Why was it dismantled? Because by that time, the Ottomans had withdrawn north of Nablus to Damascus and from Damascus to Aleppo, and by that time, the army was defeated. The railroad was no longer necessary to bring troops and equipment to the north. So the question is, did the Biri train exist or not? In my view, the disappearance of the train from local memory, and I should add from national Palestinian memory, has to do with its usage. Unlike the Hijazi railroad, which Zeynep Şelik was talking about, this train was used exclusively for bringing equipment and troops to the northern front. There was no passengers allowed on it. So there was no public consciousness of using that train to go to various places, unlike the Hijazi Railroad and the Coastal Railroad, which took people to Rafah, from Rafah to Sinai and Egypt, and linking them areas north to Syria and Lebanon. It transformed their lives, but this train was used only for military reasons. In some way, the train is similar to the visual impact of the Zeppelins. The Zeppelins were used extensively in Palestine during the war, but somehow people only know about them because of the photographic evidence. There's no public memory of the Zeppelins, and there was a similar experience with this train. So the train whistle is the only existence of the train which has survived in folk songs and peasant songs. The reason it is repressed, in my view, I would add, is because it's associated people's mind with the taking away of the young people to the front, and also later with the train experience taking people to the diaspora and to America, where migration started in earnest immediately after the First World War. So only now can we regain it in these archival sources. And I thank you.